Blog Talk Radio.
As she slips in, trying to fade into the faces, the girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't
International. I'm Apostle, Prophet, Evangelist Edward Eberle. I'm your host here, the host of my program, God's Hour of Truth. I'd like to welcome everybody tonight here in the United States as well as around the world. I thank God for being on the program tonight, doing the program tonight, and I believe and trust you all are coming expecting, because as you dial in this program, as you come to the program here, always expect God to do something in your life, because no meeting is ever void or just a happenstance, just something we just experience. But look for something from God. Let God minister to you. That's what He wants to do. He wants people that are available that He can minister to, that are open to receive from Him. That's just exactly what this program's about. is to be open to receive what God has for you, whether it's healing, deliverance, being set free, or if you don't even know Jesus as your Savior, to receive Jesus Christ, or whatever your needs might be, come expecting, because God won't disappoint you. It was two weeks ago, we had a two-part series here. It's called, Does Your Life Reflect Being in Jesus? And that's quite a subject. Does your life reflect being in Jesus? That was 2 weeks ago. Now, I did part one 2 weeks ago, and today or tonight I'm doing part two. So you need to go to the on-demand section on the computer where you're at right now for the program, and that'll have the past programs, because every time we do a program on here, whoever does a program, right after the program, a little bit after the program, they put it on what they call the on-demand section. And you really need to hear part one, because part one laid the groundwork of really how to do it. This is going to be showing you what we should be reflecting. We should be reflecting certain things, and that's what we dealt with last week. But how do we reflect these things? How do we get to places where we can do this is what we spoke about. So you need to listen to part one after you're done here this evening. After you're done in the program, you can go back there and listen to part one, even listen to part two again, because you never can get it all out of one program, because we only get a small percentage of what's there. So you need to re-listen to these programs. Okay, before we go any further, let's ask the Lord to bless this program tonight, okay? Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and thank you. We just want to lift up the name of Jesus, Father. Father, if it wouldn't be for Jesus, we wouldn't even be here tonight. We thank you that Jesus made the way. He paid the price for us, that we can come to him and receive him and let him direct and have our lives and know that we are in peace and safety and know that he's directing us to the right path. And Father, I just pray tonight that you will just anoint my lips, the words that I say, that they won't be my words, it'd be words that you would say, Lord, because you know what needs to be said, and I don't. So, Father, I just ask you just to bless it, to open the ears of the people, cause them to have a hunger for your word. And, Father, whatever people are seeking for tonight, what they are wanting to receive from you, I just ask that you meet every one of them, Father. Every person tonight that's listening and those that will be on the on-demand section also, that you will do the same with them, Father, that whoever is listening will receive what you have for them, Father. Now, Father, by faith, I just release your anointing over these airwaves. I just release your anointing and ask that that anointing would destroy the yoke of things that are hurting your people, Father. And, Father, for everything that's accomplished, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I really enjoy ministering God's word because, you know, it's truth. And it's not just something we believe or something for Sunday or just what our church believes this or we believe that, but it's a way of life. God's word is life. It's a way of life, and it is life. It promotes life wherever it goes. It's light, light in this darkness all around this earth right here, all around the world. We have darkness, but it's light. It's light in us and through us. It gets us through all these things. So when we hear the word, when we apply that word, that is what gives us the victory, because it's God's word. It's just like being in a room. You know, a room is dark, and you can't see where you're going or anything, but when you turn a light on or a flashlight or something, you can see your way. And God's word is light for us to follow that light. And he always leads us into the blessed things, the things that he has for us, and he wants to bless us. He loves us. He cares for us. And he has everything for us. And we're going to learn some more things tonight about that, because there's so much that he's done for us and what we have in Jesus Christ that I could be preaching 20 years here, and I still wouldn't have it all out. There's so many things that the Lord has done for us. So we need to partake of those things, okay? All right, so we said the subject right here is, does your life reflect being in Jesus? Does your life reflect being in Jesus? Okay, we named a good number of things last week, and we're going to go over some more things here tonight. Just what are we to be reflecting here? What are we to reflect to the world? What are they supposed to see in us? Okay. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Let me read that again. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, we have the mind of Jesus Christ, it says here, doesn't it? The mind of Jesus. Well, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? That is powerful. Now, let's kind of explain that a little bit here. You know, I can say, well, I have the mind of Christ and go about doing my own thing. I don't really have the mind of Christ. But if I'm a Christian following and being obedient to the Lord and obeying his word and hearing the Spirit of the Lord direct me, if I'm in tune with him, then I have the mind of Christ, you see. This isn't something that's with you automatically unless you're positioned for that, you see. We have that mind. We have that potential. But we have to press into that and learn the word, know the word, and hear the Spirit of God and be open for him, you see. And it's really, to really make it simple and not sound complicated, it's just surrendering ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, you take over my life. Your will be done in my life. I want to follow you. I want to have peace in my heart. I want to have your mind for the things I do, that I will make the right decisions. I won't make the wrong ones, and I'll do the right thing. Lord, I want to obey you. And then you read that word, and you study, and you study to show yourself approved. And, you know, when your heart is right with God, what he does, even before you know what the Bible says about certain things sometimes, you'll be led or sense in your spirit that, hey, I need to do this, or hey, I need to do that, or I need to stop doing that. And you might not know even why, but maybe a couple weeks or a month later or so, you'll see a scripture there, and you'll say, my, oh, my, I sensed to do this or stop doing this here a month or two ago, and I didn't know why. And here's where the scripture is that tells me that. Now I know it, you see. See, the Spirit of God and the Word of God always complement one another. They're never different from one another. What the Spirit says, the Word says. What the Word says, the Spirit says. So if you don't know the Word and haven't been in the Word long enough to know certain things, because you're committed, many times God will show you and lead you to do or not to do things because you want to obey him, you want to follow him, and then he'll show you that word, though. So that's kind of like a safety valve that we all have sometimes. That doesn't mean you're not to study the word and just depend on him just to direct you, because if you don't know the word, there can be deceiving spirits or false spirits right there that would lead you the wrong way. So that's how we are able to discern spirits that are not of God and spirits that are of the devil by the word. What they would say, what they try to have us do, is it along with God's word or is it not along with God's word? So that's why it's so very important, first of all, to have the mind of Christ, you see. And we have the mind of Christ through his word. His word is his mind, you see. It's just like when he was tempted, when he was in the desert, 40 days. What happened, he didn't use his own words. He used the words of the Father, what the word says, you see. When he told the devil that he wouldn't be tempted, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, you see. And he told him various things. And there's three temptations, which was along with the word of God. He spoke the word. So the mind of Christ is really the word of God, speaking the word of God, believing the word of God, and acting on God's word. So know that you have that mind. When you are assigned to do something, maybe you're going to a new job, maybe you're entering into a certain phase of the ministry, whatever you are set up to accomplish, whatever God is leading you to go into, it's your future, what you have to do, what your mission is. When you go into that, you don't have to be fearful, because just know and say and believe, I have the mind of Christ, so I'm going to do the right thing. He's going to show me. He's going to help me. I have that mind. Don't think yourself as saying, well, hey, I don't know this, I don't know that, I just can't do this. You see, the Lord is the one that helps us to do things, and it's through him that we do them. But we must have that confidence that, hey, he is with us and he is helping us. We have his mind, you see. You have to be positive about these things, because if you have a negative attitude about it, you're not going to make it. The Bible says in Psalms 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you want to believe that. So accept the fact that I have the mind of Jesus Christ, and I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, you see. Because he wants us to operate on this earth like he did. You know, he said, the things that I do, so shall you do even greater things. We're the hands, the eyes, the feet, and the toes of Jesus Christ, the mouthpiece, everything, because Jesus is no longer on this earth. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And, of course, he's left you and I down here with the help of the Holy Spirit to do his work, you see. We're not doing this work, and we can't do his work in ourselves, but it's through the Spirit of God that enables us and provides for us that we can get the mission done, whatever that is in life. It can be a spiritual mission, secular mission, jobs, whatever, anything you face in life, you want to do in a work of excellence, because everything you do, whether it's a business job or you're a pastor or whatever you might be, do everything you can to the very best you can. Do quality work, do excellent work, work of excellence, because you're not doing it for a man. You're not even doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the Lord, you say. So we have to do all things as unto the Lord, the Word tells us. So when we do things like that, that's reflecting something, you see. That's where this reflection comes in, because you reflect, your actions reflect to others, and how you act, how you believe, what you say, your mannerisms, your attitude, that reflects. That's what we're speaking about, reflection. Okay, the next thing, our attitude for our life. The Bible says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Wow, that's a big statement too. These are two very big statements right here. But you know, we have that potential here. The Word wouldn't tell us that. Anything the Bible says that we can be and have and are, we can be it, we can have it, and we are it, if we simply believe it and act on it and just simply obey it. Because God never tells us to do something we can't do. Of course, we can't do it in ourselves, but through Him, you see. Because He knows that. He knows, well, I'm going to have this person do this. I know this. They can't do it, but through me they can do it, because my Word tells them I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Philippians 4:13. Okay, our attitude. So to have an attitude, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, that means that I'm going to have to be following somebody, doesn't it? That means that I can't be doing my own thing, what I feel like doing and when I feel like doing it or whatever. That means that there's somebody that's over me, somebody's directing my life. And to be as Christ, well, how was Christ? How do I learn how Jesus was? Well, we have to get in the Word and study to show ourselves approved, don't we? We have to get in that Word and just see who Jesus was, what He did, how He did it, how He acted, how He reacted, His mannerism. We learn Him, we pray, we talk to Him, and we become more familiar with Him and how He operates, what He does, you see. It's a personality relationship. It's a personal relationship. That's what being a Christian is, being in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the way of life, you see. And when we have that attitude, then as I learn and I study and learn more about Jesus, then I can come to that place that, hey, I see how Jesus lived. I choose to want to be that way, and I'm going to live that way. And then we reach out and we step out to do it, you see. We determine we want to live that way, but then we have to take the Word of God and obey that Word, whatever it tells us. We need to be obedient, you see, and give up to ourselves, you see. Reckon ourselves dead, because in yourself, you have a selfish will, but you have authority over your will, just like at Gethsemane, when Jesus said this drops of blood in His head, when He agonized there of going to the cross, and He said, Father, not my will, but Your will be done. You and I can say that very same thing, and we come out on top of it, because Jesus' blood shed there enabled me that I can say no to my selfish will and obey God no matter what it is, you see. And you can do the same thing. The way was made or provided for us. So I can actually live as Christ lived if I choose to be obedient and do the things that He did and obey, you say. It's a matter of, am I going to live to myself, for myself, what I want to do? Or am I going to live with what the Lord wants me to do? And you know, I've found something out, and I've said this a number of times, but it's really a big thing. It's a major thing. You know, when you say, not my will, but Yours be done, you are saying whatever You want for me to do in life and whatever You have for me in life, every minute of the day, every day of the week or whatever it might be, when you say, I want Your will done, not mine, you're giving God the free rein to do what He wants to, with you and through you each day, you see. It's a day-by-day thing. It isn't a one shot only. You do it and that's it. But you commit that day to Him. Your will be done today. Your will, each day, Your will be done. And don't have preconceived ideas or thoughts in mind, like say, hey, I want to do this, I want to do that, but Your will be done. Completely let things go and just say, Your will be done. And when you do that, you will find out, and I found this out many times for many years, when I say Your will be done, what happens is I'm at the right place at the right time. I'm at the right place at the right time because I said, your will be done, and God is perfect, isn't it? So if I want his will done and I'm obeying him, I'm going to do things right, aren't I? Now, if I do the things the way I want to do them, I might be 15 minutes late, I might be at the wrong place or what have you, you see. But you can't miss when you're doing that. If you truly are obedient unto him like that and hearing his voice, you'll be doing what you should do. Now, I didn't say that you're going to reach perfection because none of us are perfect in our walk. We press towards the mark of perfection, but we haven't attained it. Paul said that in Philippians 3:13-14. I'm pressing towards the mark. But yet that needs to be our desire and our will. In fact, the greatest desire that you and I can have in life above, it's above all, is, Lord, your will be done in and through my life, period. That's it. No attitudes, thoughts, or I want to do this, I feel do this, or whatever. But your will be done. And then these things will come to you, and then you'll be able to see what he wants for you. He'll bring them to you. But you have to give him permission to take over your will, you see. That's one thing that God cannot do. He can't overrule your will. You have a will, and he can't overrule it, you see. He made us that way. We are free-willed agents. But I'm going to tell you this. There is consequences to our actions, you see. It's not like a lot of things in this world today. There's a lot of people who are doing things, but there hasn't seemed to be any consequences to what's happening to them. But there will be. There will be consequences, you see, because there's always consequences to things that we do in life, you see. There's always a consequence. We are responsible. We are liable, you see. And a lot of people don't want to be accountable and things like that. They want to do things unto themselves, but that's not going to happen, you see, because one day it'll all account is going to be given. So nobody gets away with anything in this earth. So we're going to reflect things, getting back to what we're saying, is our attitude and life there. And when we choose to live as the Lord, then we can say, for me to live as Christ. And the more we grow, the closer we can really are to that statement there, because if they can see us instead of see Jesus, not us, the more that we live and we grow in this thing, the more Jesus they see in you and I. Instead of seeing us, they're seeing Jesus. They say, hey, that's a godly man. That's a godly woman. They recognize these things, the traits that we have, you see. But we grow in it. We become more efficient in it, you see. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a growing process day by day by day through obedience day by day by day. Okay. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. All right? Today, a lot of people are living in fear, walking in fear of what's going to happen to them, what's going to happen to their jobs, what's going to happen in the world, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen in the finances, what's this, what's that. But where does that come from, fear? It doesn't come from God, right? So who did it actually come from? It's either God or the devil. So it must be the devil because God didn't give us that spirit of fear. So if you have fear in your life now, God didn't put it there. The devil put it there, and you don't have to take it. You don't have to take it. You can deal with it. We're going to learn a little further on tonight about that. You don't have to take that fear because God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but he gave you power. In place of fear, he's given you faith. He's given you authority and ability. And it gives you a mind that you can think and you can make decisions and choices yourself, not being prompted or brought down by the devil or anybody else or being intimidated. You can bring the right decision. You can make the right decision, not fearful making the wrong decision because of fear, you see. But he's given you power, love, and a sound mind. And, you know, I've found something when fear tries to come across my mind or something. If I take that scripture and speak it out loud. You need to speak the scriptures out loud. Don't just read them, but say it. God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I will not fear in the name of Jesus. God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And as you say that God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, you can feel that freedom, that release, but there, you don't have that fear upon you. That'll actually leave from you because you're speaking the word of God. You're speaking it out loud. But it's very important you speak it out loud. It's always better even to read the Bible out loud when you're reading because the creative force in that, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you're hearing what you're reading there, you see, and you're accumulating faith. You're building your faith up. Okay, he's given you power. That means authority, ability, and a mind of the sound. So that's what God gave us, you see. And we have to determine we're going to settle for nothing less than that. God gave it to you, so why shouldn't you be living it? Why should you be in fear? Why should your mind be all shushly and just messed up? Why should you be in hatred or anything else like that, or resentments and things? These things that are making you miserable, because all they do is hurt you. You see, you're not hurting somebody else. You're hurting yourself. So you have power, love, and a sound mind, and you have to determine, hey, I'm going to walk in that thing. I don't just have it, and it's a promise of God, but I'm walking that thing. I'm taking it. I'm not going to just believe and say, hey, God has this woman. Then I turn and walk the other way. And too many Christians are that way today. They're not walking in what the Bible says. They're saying, I believe this, and they do believe it. They say it in a sense of having mental assent, but they haven't determined, I'm going to walk in this thing no matter what. The kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. So many of these things, as we learn in life, in fact, almost everything, every promise of God or anything by God to us, we have to take by force, not from God. God doesn't dangle it. He doesn't take one in, we take the other, and we have to pull it from him. No, he freely hands it to us, but we have the devil in between there to try to block our blessings, you see, and that's who we're dealing with, you see, and that's that. So that's why we are fighting the battle of faith of what the Word of God says. We have it no matter what happens, you see, and you have to have that mental assent that you determine, I have it, and that's it. I'm not even going to think about it, no matter what my circumstances are looking like or what I'm feeling like or who's saying what. The Bible says this. God told me this. So if God told me this, I can have it, and that's it. There's no more questions about it. You have to have that type of a mindset. It's not negotiable. The promises of God are not negotiable. Yes and amen is really what it is. Yea and amen, the Bible says, which means yes and so be it. So that's it. They're not negotiable. They're just, you have to meet the qualification. You have to do what you're supposed to do, but he gives it to you. He doesn't negotiate or wheel and deal with you about it. It's there for you. If you meet that condition, you can enjoy it, you see, and that's what he gave them to us for. He knew what we were going to be up against in this world. He knew what we were going to face, so he gave us his promises that we can live an abundant, fruitful life. That's what it's all about. Okay? We have authority over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10, verse 19 and verse 20. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That is the bottom line. When your names are written in heaven, our names are there. That is the greatest thing that you're. That's what the whole thing is about. That's the foundation of everything, is going from hell to heaven. In other words, if we don't know Jesus Christ, we are headed to hell. There's no doubt about it. He that has a son hath life. He that has not the son has not life. John 3:36, and without Jesus, we're going to hell. But I'm going to tell you this: with Christ, we not only go to heaven when we leave this earth, but also we can have a blessed, joyful, purposeful life, abundant, joyful, fruitful life while we're living on this earth. Because we're not just waiting to go to heaven; we have work to do down here on earth. We have a mission to each one of us. God has a plan for each one of our lives. And when we obey his plan, do what he wants us to do, we fulfill that plan, you see. And we feel fulfilled. We don't feel that we missed out in life or we blew it. You know, when we get really older, we say, my, I could have done this. I regret this. I regret that. This is a life of regrets. You're not going to have regrets when you're really serving God. Not that you don't make mistakes and do wrong and say, I'd like to have done that, but you don't cry over spilt milk. You ask God forgiveness if you messed up somewhere or whatever happened. You ask God's forgiveness and you go on. You forgive yourself. But you'll find when you serve the Lord, it's just a life that fulfills. It's like Jesus told the woman at the well. He said he'll give us water. He'll give her water and she won't thirst anymore. Well, it's just like the water he gives us as we serve him. We are just fulfilled, period. Period. We're fulfilled. And we never get tired of it. It's always there. It's just... It's heaven. It's a little bit of heaven on earth when we obey the Lord. He blesses us that way. But notice something here in this 20th verse. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice that the spirits are subject to you. That means that Satan, the demons, the forces of hell are subject to us. They are subject to what I say. They're subject to what you say. They're subject to how you and I deal with them, you see. we have authority over him, don't we? That's what the Bible says. We cast out devils. In fact, Mark 16 tells us we cast out devils in the name of Jesus. We have authority over that. So when you're being harassed by Satan in your mind, or things are coming at you or just driving you batty almost, seems like it's almost driving you out of your mind. We've all been there. When you know where that's coming from, you just have to take your authority over Satan, knowing that's who that is, and just cast them down in the name of Jesus. Cast those thoughts down. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it tells us in that scriptures there, verse 4 and 5, and on, it tells us that whatever comes to us, we're to cast down. In fact, we're to first examine it, measure it according to Christ, and if it's not of him, we're to cast it down. We're to cast down, we're examined, because everything that enters our life comes in through the mind, the thought process. And we're dealing that like that, and we know it's not from God, we cast it down. We have the authority, but too times we can get caught up in what we're experiencing and not using that authority, and we find ourselves whimpering and out of sorts and miserable and everything like that, and it's no more than some devils harassing us, but you and I didn't cast them out. We didn't get them out of us, you see. We've all done it. We've all messed up like that. Didn't take out authority. We didn't take the authority of what we're to do, you see. But you have authority over the devil. In other words, he is the mouse. You are the elephant. And the mouse is trying to tell you as the elephant, I'm stronger than you and I can beat you up. Now, that's ridiculous, isn't it? But see, that's what he does. He's a deceiver, you see. He comes in as a roaring lion. He comes in, sneaks in. Now, let me say this. If the devil was so powerful, why does he have to sneak in? Because a powerful man doesn't sneak in. He just comes in and grabs it and takes it. But you see, right there, you and I have that authority over him. He can't just grab it unless we allow him. So you need to recognize the fact that you have authority over the devil. You don't have to be afraid of the devil, this evil stuff that's going on, this mystical stuff and demonic activity and all these things. You have authority over that. You must believe that because Jesus is in you. The greater one's in you. Greater is he that's in you and he that's in the world. So, hey, he can't move you. If he can move you and you're using the word of God in the name of Jesus, then he's stronger than God. And you know better than that. He's not stronger than God. But how much do you dare to believe that the Lord is inside you and the greater one's in you and you have authority over the devil and you're not going to be pushed around anymore? You have to determine that. You have that authority, and when you are seen by others acting like that, doing those things, and the way you talk and your countenance and everything, that reflects something of people. That shows that, hey, I don't mess around with that guy. That guy knows what he's doing. That girl knows what she's doing. They seem like a person with authority. They aren't just sitting around and crying and boo-hooing. They are doing something about things. They're active. I'm going to follow that person. They got something going on. What is it? Well, you ask the person what it is, and they tell you Jesus. And that's how we lead people to Christ, because we reflect Christ to them. They see a little bit of Christ in you and I, and they like it. They want it, and we introduce them to him. Who is it, you see? We reflect what he is, because we want to draw people to us in a sense that we turn around and reflect them to him, you see, and they go to him, you see, because naturally they're going to see Jesus. Now, they're not seeing Jesus walking this earth like you and I are now, but they see that Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord in us, through the Holy Spirit, they desire that, and then we introduce them to Jesus Christ. And they're in the kingdom like you and I. Amen? Okay, that's what that's about. Now, everything given to us for this life and next life, you know, that is a fact. Everything has been given to us for this life and the next life. If you turn to Peter, you have your scriptures, your Bible, 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us things, all things, that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay? We have been given by God everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, in other words, this life and living a godly life for him. We've been given everything it has need. We have need up for that. Okay? And how it's been given to us. Okay, it's been given to us by what? The promises, it says there, right? There are hundreds of promises in the Bible But that's what these promises were giving unto us for, that we can have what we personally need in this life. We can have what we personally need to do the plan that he has for us and ministry and everything we do, that we can be successful with that. Then the promises are there. It's really preparing us for when we leave this earth, because, you know, really this is the proving grounds of what we're going to get in heaven. You know that? This is the proving grounds. We're going to be rewarded for what we do, and we're not going to be rewarded for the bad things. We're all going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to receive what we did good and what we did bad in the body, you see. What we did good and what we did bad, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Okay? So you're going to be rewarded one way or another, whether it's the bad deeds or the good deeds. So this is the proving ground, or what we do here is what counts towards heaven, because it's through works that we're rewarded. By grace we are saved and blessed and everything. It's all by grace. But our works will signify our rewards, just how we conducted our lives on this earth, how we obeyed his commands, what we did, our attitudes, our purposes, everything. It's how we lived our life. That's really putting it down what it really is. How we live our life in this earth is going to be judged of what happens in heaven when we meet the Lord face to face. So we got to make sure. We have to make sure that we're doing the things that please him, because we're not getting by with anything, you see. He's going to examine us. You know, if we go to the judgment seat of Christ, we can go in there with something the size of a 12 by 12 room, and we think we did that, but because of our attitudes, what the purpose, the reason we did it, and maybe we did it unto self, or maybe we did it to glorify ourselves, or because we felt we had to get what we wanted, but not unto the Lord, that's all going to be wood straw and hubble. It's going to burn up, you see. That's going to burn up, because we'll only be rewarded for what we did for Jesus Christ alone. That's it, for him alone. If it was us involved in there or anything else, we will not be rewarded for it. We will not receive any rewards for it. So we have to be careful why we did it, our attitude in doing it, purpose for it, and how we did it, and why we did it, you see. We need to ask ourselves these questions, because we are supposed to be doing things unto the Lord for his glory, not for our glory, you see. So we need to be so careful of how we live our lives, because, like I say, we're gonna answer for everything. There's not one sneeze that comes out of our nose, we sneeze or cough or something that God doesn't know about. So we need to be living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Okay? The Bible also says in Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs of God, heirs and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Okay, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Christ is an heir. We're joint heirs. That means he's our brother. You've heard said many times he's our elder brother. Okay, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ as we serve him on this earth. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Okay? What Jesus did on earth, remember he told the apostles, and he said to the people, he said, if they love me, they'll love you. If they hate me, they're going to hate you. So if you're serving the Lord by his word, the very same thing that happened to him will happen to you, you see. No, we're not going to go to the cross. We're not going to pay the price. We couldn't do that because we definitely aren't qualified for that. Jesus paid the price. But what I'm talking about is if we do what he told us to do, like if we live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12 that we'll suffer persecution. He says in John 16:33, he says, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You're going to have tribulation in this world. You're going to have persecution in this world. Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. There's things coming against us in the negative, like he faced, that we're going to face too if we're following him the way we're supposed to. There'll be the blessed times, the good times, the wonderful times, but then there's difficult times. And, you know, that's one thing a lot of people have a problem with. You know, when things are going good, everything's fine, but then they're down in the mully grubs when things get tough. Persecution, lied about, afflicted, tribulation. Persecution, people lying about you, double-crossing you, deceiving you, all types of things. And Christ wasn't deceived now. He knew what was going on. Sometimes you and I don't know because we're not in tune to know what's happening. But we should be. We should learn. That's why we need wisdom and discernment in our lives. But there's things that come along with it that Jesus himself suffered, even though he knew all things. He knows things and he knew things. But the thing about it is, there's a certain thing that we have to go through. There's a baptism of suffering that the scripture speaks of. There's a suffering. He said, if you suffer with me, then you are going to rise, be resurrected in the glory, in my glory. So you see, there's a price to be paid when we're doing right. A lot of times people have the concept that, hey, when I'm following the Lord, I'm doing right, my life is going to be rosy. Peaches and cream. Everything's just going to be wonderful. It's going to fall in place because the Lord's leading me, and he only leads me where I have no problems. But the thing about it is, when you're standing for his principles, his truth, and everything he stands for, you're going to have confrontations. And by confrontations, I mean that the devil doesn't like it, so he's going to pick his people and come against you, you see. It happens all the time. We see it in the world more than we ever have right now because those are doing the right thing. Well, matter of fact, let's just take Isaiah 5:20. It tells us that we're in a day that they call good evil and evil good. Isn't that the truth? Aren't they labeling evil things, evil people, as good? And though they're doing the right thing, trying to do the right thing and reaching out to do the right thing, they call them evil, you see. And that's what they tried to tell to say about Jesus. And they couldn't prove anything about him. There was nothing on him. He was perfect. Now, take you and I. Now, we're not perfect in our walk. But yet, when you go to do the right thing, they're going to attack you. And if they can't attack you with something they can find, what they're going to do, they're going to trump up something. You know what they do? They trump up things that lying, you see. That's how they do. They just build them up like that. And they did that with Jesus, remember? If they can't find something wrong, they'll lie about it. And they'll say you did this or you didn't do that or whatever. And that's what happens. That's what happens when you're living for the Lord. So no matter what, they're going to come against you one way, whether you're good, bad, or indifferent. They're going to blame you for something you didn't do. So you can't get around that, folks. That is in the territories we serve the Lord. But the apostles, I was reading today, you know, as I read about the apostles, they considered themselves blessed that they were worthy to be persecuted for the Lord, that they were worthy to be persecuted because they were living for him. They were worthy. In the book of Acts, it tells us that. They rejoiced that they were worthy to be punished and given a hard time because they were serving the Lord. They were doing what he wanted them to do, so therefore they're being punished for it or persecuted for it. So we're to be thankful, really, that we're persecuted for the gospel's sake. That we're even worthy to be persecuted because we really live in the life of people are going to really persecute us. Because if you're not living for Jesus, you're not going to be persecuted. Only those that really mean business or really doing something for the Lord are the ones that he's really persecuting because he wants to cause them to quit, to get discouraged, or do something wrong, you say. So that comes with the territory. That's the price we have to pay, and you have to recognize that. But as you grow in these things and learn these things, you recognize that's part of the territory, and it becomes more of a second nature almost that happens, you see. But we have to get by, we have to get over that hurdle, so to speak. There's a hurdle there. And some people have a hard time with persecution or things come against them. And it's not pleasant, it's very difficult. But the bottom line is we have to get over that hurdle because we cannot make it if we don't. It's sort of like a boxer. You know, if he has a glass jaw, he's not going to make it as a boxer because he's going to get knocked out, right? And that's the same with us as Christians. We can't leave anything open, no holes open in our armor, no kinks in our armor, because if we leave it open, the devil's going to get right in where that little hole is and get to us, you see. We have to have the full armor on in our lives daily. We must have that full armor on. Because remember, we're joint heirs of Jesus because we're going to be blessed in the resurrection. We're going to be resurrected with him, so therefore we need to suffer with him, the word says. And that's something you don't hear said very much because it's not fun to teach about it or preach about it, but it's the truth. It's reality. And if we're honest about it, if you're living for the Lord like you should, you know what I'm talking about here because it's a reality to you. You're experiencing that. This is life's experience. And we tell it how it is, not sugarcoat things. You have to tell it like it is so people are going to know and understand what they're experiencing. So we are joint heirs with Jesus. So remember, we read this a little bit ago. For me to live as Christ, to live as Christ. So when you're living as Christ did, well, as you read the word and study the life of Jesus, you read especially in the gospel there, you see what Jesus experienced and what he went through. Okay? The next thing, health, wealth, and spiritual prosperity. It says this in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And you know, as I read that, you know, it's God that gives us this. We know God gives us everything by his grace. We know that, right? But it's you. This is you right here. You do this. You do this. See, a lot of times we're saying, God, do this, do that, give me this, give me that. But let's look at this verse a little closer. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Okay, that means this truth you should keep before your eyes. You should know it. It should not leave you. It needs to be a part of you, period. Okay? But thou shalt meditate day and night. That means we need to think on these things. Meditate. Get these things in our heart that they're a part of us. You see, that's our second nature, you see. We need to think and meditate on these things. Know these things. Get them in your heart. You need to think on them day and night. That doesn't mean you're just laying around or sitting somewhere or praying day and night, but you can be walking, you can be doing your job, you can be driving a car, whatever, and driving, doing things, and you're thinking about the Word, what the Word says, meditating on it. Then the Lord gives you certain revelations on things. He shows you different things. It's to be a part of you, thinking what the Word of God says. It says that thou may observe to do them. Okay? When you're thinking about them, you practice them. You don't just know them. Because be not only a hearer, but a doer. Otherwise, you deceive yourself, the Bible tells us in James 1:22. Then it says, if you do that, you're going to make your way prosperous and you're going to have good success. But if you notice, if you want good success and be prosperous, it's through the Word, isn't it? Meditate on the Word day and night, obeying it, keeping before you, observing to obey it, to do it. So that means that really your success and your prosperity is in you. It depends on you because God already gave it to you, didn't he? He's already made the way. He said, just take my word, meditate on it. You're going to be successful. Obey it, you're going to be successful. So he gave you the answer. But if you don't apply that answer, it won't work, will it? So the Bible depends on you and I being obedient because God did everything he said he did. And Jesus paid the price for everything. And now he sat down at the right hand of the Father and he says, all right, it's finished. I did it all for you. It's all there for you. I have a mission for you because the things I do, I want you to do. I want you to finish the mission. I've given you everything. It's all there for you. Now, have at it. Do it. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, I'm just speaking out bluntly. That's what it boils down to, doers of the word. So he's made that way, right? Now, he says in 3 John, verse 1 and 2, 3 John 1 and 2, 3 John 2 is what it is. First chapter is only one chapter in 3 John, but 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Even as thy soul prospers. Okay? I wish above all things that you'll prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. All right, your soul is your mind, your intellect, your decision-making process. Okay? Now, as your mind and as you study, and of course it gets into your heart, as you grow in that, you should prosper because the more we grow in the Word, we should be healthier, we should be prosperous, we should be able to receive these promises that are going to enable you and I to be healthy in our bodies, prosperous in our finances, and prosperous in every way of life, not just these two things, but everything we do, with peace and joy, comfort, everything you can think of, we should have this, you see. Does that mean you're not going to have problems anymore or things come against you or things like that? No. But it means in spite of the things that come against you, you're going to be joyful and peace about it and nothing's going to shake you, you see. That's the thing, you know. When circumstances of life and emotions rule your life, that's when you're really no testimony to anybody. You can know the Word. You can be a witness. You can speak and try to lead people to Jesus. But it doesn't work because they read your life. What are you reflecting? Are you reflecting a person when they're in hard times, that they're down in the molly grobs and they don't want to talk to anybody and they're all out of sorts? Or when you're going through hard times, do you have a smile on your face? Are you believing God and you're out doing what he wants you to do and being encouraging and helping others? It's how you react to these things. This is what people look at. I know before I was saved, I used to look at the reaction of people and actions, but the reactions to negative things, you see. And too many Christians today are living by their emotions, what they feel like doing. When things are good, then they're happy. When things are bad, they aren't. And what they're doing, they're going up and down, up and down, up and down. And, of course, that confuses people. And they have people have no respect for anybody like that, because you're telling them you have a mighty God you're serving, and he loves you, and no matter what, you can do all things to him, and he's there with you. And then they see something come against you, and you fall apart. What kind of a God is that, you see? So when we're preaching the word of God, you and I have a responsibility, and you don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be in a fivefold ministry. When you're stating what your God is, this is a very serious thing for all of us, and this is something, this is, I've not really said this before like this. I can't remember saying it, but I'm going to say this. When you are talking, you're speaking the word of God, you're talking how great your Jesus is, you better be ready to back it up by your actions, too, that you will prove to people you're trying to tell that to. Because God proves you sometimes. When you're preaching, I'm telling you something. When you're telling people things and saying about the Lord, you're going to be tested on these things. Are you really that? Or are you just saying, hey, I have a great big God. I can do all things through him, no matter what, blah, 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 blah. And then a trial comes out to you and you just fall apart at the seams. Because you've got to be ready to back it up. We need to really think very carefully what we say and do, and do we really believe the word? Are we really reflecting these things to others? Do we reflect these things to others? Now, I'm not saying put on a false act there, be a phony or a hypocrite. I'm saying, is that really in your heart? Is this what the way you're really living? Is this what you're putting the best effort forth to be, even though you're not perfect in your walk? But are you actually, no, I don't like to use the word trying. You don't try, we do. But you're putting forth that effort to be all that you can be. You're doing your very best. Are you really doing that? Or is it just a voice saying, well, hey, I can do this, I can do that. But it's not really showing anything, you see. The scripture is better shown than it is preached. In other words, I should preach the gospel, and if I have to, even use words. It's kind of that way. I heard that said one time. I mightn't have said it quite right, but, you know, we're to preach the gospel, and when it's necessary, use words. Because you preach a better sermon in your life than you'll ever preach out of your mouth. And that's what we need to concentrate on. That's why there's been a lot of problems. We have a lot of Christians who are not doing what the word says. They aren't obeying the word. They aren't caring what others are seeing, you see. And I surely don't want to be a stumbling block that somebody is going to hell because of me. And I know you don't want to either. So in this day and hour, as Jesus is coming very soon, I think we all, that goes for every one of us, we need to want to live a holy life unto the Lord, a life of power, and go out there and leave God use us like never before, because there's a great move of God. It's happening now, and it's starting, it's beginning. It's going to be beyond anything what it ever was on this earth. At any time, there'll be no time as great as this time. And we need to be a part of that. And we are a part of it if we choose to follow the Lord and be in his remnant, because he wants to use his people like never before. So these few things that I mentioned here, and like I said last week or 2 weeks ago, I had the message part one. And you need to listen to that, because that'll show you some things that you need to do to get yourself position for that. You see, you don't just jump into things, but you need to be positioned, some things you have to overcome. But it requires an effort on our part, and it's not easy. But I'll tell you this, the Lord helps you do it, and you can do it. You definitely can do it, but you just need to desire to do it and ask him to help you, because he said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And our greatest desire right now, above any desire that we have, is, Lord, I want to live your perfect will in my life. I want you to live your perfect will in my life and through my life from this time forth, wherever it leads me, what you want me to do. I want you to lead it, because then when you're leading it, Lord, I know it's going to be right, because it'll be pleasing to you. And if you're pleasing God, that's all that really matters, no matter what anybody says or thinks about you, because if God's for you, who can be against you? And that needs to be our aim and our goal, and I believe that's what Paul's goal was, his aim was, and anybody's aim should be, is to please our Heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus' role was. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to obey his Father, be pleasing to his Father. So that needs to be our goal. Okay, that's all I have for right now on this subject right now, but I want to have a word of prayer before we close the session out. And I'm going to pray for each one of you right now, each one of us, because I put myself in this this kettle too. Everybody that's listening here live and also be listening on the on-demand section in the future with the message here, I put myself always in the same kettle pot as you all are. I might stand up here in my ivory tower that I have arrived, and I'm saying, you do this, you do that. No. I'm examining myself as I speak. I examine myself probably a lot stronger than I preach, because I do examine myself very closely, and I want to please God in all things. And that's my whole purpose in life, because if I can hear, which I will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that is the greatest thing I'll ever hear. And that's the greatest thing you'll ever hear also. And that's what my goal is. Okay, let's look to the Lord in prayer before we sign off for the night, and just ask God to help us that we obey his word and we walk the way he wants us to do, and we really reflect Jesus. Father, as we come before you tonight, Father, I just thank you for the privilege of preaching tonight, teaching your word, Father, these few minutes, and for the last session that was part one. And I just pray, Father, that these two messages, part one and part two, will touch the people that listened 2 weeks ago, as well as the people that are listening tonight, and those that are listening to the on-demand section. Father, I just pray, as they desire to do these things, as they've heard your word and desire to walk in these things, be a reality in their lives, I just pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you will enable them, which you will, you promised them, enable them to be and do what you want. Father, you said in Philippians 2:13, it's you that works in us to will and to do your good pleasure. So have your good pleasure done in all those that desire it right now. Yes, everybody desires right now, have your good pleasure in their lives right now. Have your good pleasure in their lives, directing their lives, that they will obey you. And just bless these people. Heal their minds, heal their bodies, heal their families, their marriages, their lives. Deliver them from any addictions, Father. Anything that they need set free from, in the name of Jesus, I speak addictions broken. All addictions, tobacco, drugs, pornography. In the name of Jesus, I break all addictions off of the listeners right now. In the name of Jesus, all sickness, all disease. Cancer must go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And fear. Yes, your perfect love casts out all fear. Right now, in Jesus' name, I cast the spirit of fear out of these people. In Jesus' name, spirit of fear, you must go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, you must go. You must go in Jesus' name. You cannot linger. And this people are listening or hear my voice now. You cannot dwell on these people anymore. You must leave them in the name of Jesus. You will not. You cannot stay with them in any way, shape, or form in Jesus' name. Strengthen your people now, Father. Strengthen your people. Strengthen them, Father. Strengthen them. Yes, and if somebody doesn't know you now, Lord, I pray that you speak to their heart and they will come to the place there and recognize that they are a sinner and that you died for them. You died for them. You shed your blood. You were buried and you arose. And if they call upon you and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and save me. You save them because you said whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So if they call upon you now, any of their lost that want to make you Savior and Lord of their lives, I pray for them right now, God. They'll make a statement just saying, Lord, I am a sinner. You died for my sins. I ask you to forgive me, come into my heart and save me and take over my life in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, and those that need filled with your power, your spirit, your Holy Spirit, I pray that you will fill those that need filled with your spirit, those that need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, those that need infilling. I speak yes right now in the name of Jesus, they will receive that also. Every need, financial need, marital need, family problems, children's problems, Father, everything that's needed, Father, right now. I just speak it because you've given everything that pertains to life and godliness, you said, through your promises. And, Father, I just speak that word over the airways right now. Your anointing, your healing balm would just minister like never before. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' name. Now, just praise him. Just thank the Lord for what he's doing in your life. Just praise him and thank him. Just thank him and praise him for what he's doing. thank him and praise him. Just praise him and thank him. Give him all the glory. He's your deliverer. He's your healing balm. He's everything to you. He's everything to you. He's meeting you right where you're at. He's a very present help in time of need and trouble. And he said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So he's proven himself to you. He's proven himself to you because he is God. He is God by turning your life around. But you're letting him. You must let him do it. He can't turn your life around except you let him do it. But he'll turn your life around. He'll say, hey, he's for real. But he said, you have to give me permission. But you give me permission, I will do it. Hallelujah. Yes, you have a new lease on life. You have a new lease on life. You know, a lot of people say, I like a new lease on life. If I could only start over, if I could only turn the clock back. Well, we can't turn the clock back, but we can sure start from this very minute that I'm going to live a life from now on that's going to count, that's going to please God, and it's going to be right. I determined to do that. You see, we have that. We have that favor of God. We have that with God. We can always start new. We can start fresh. We can start fresh. We can repent of anything we've done. We can get back on track if we're backslidden. And he just starts again. We just say, Lord, forgive me, whatever you did, whatever happened. And you can start back on track again like nothing ever happened, you see. All you have to do is not only receive his forgiveness, but forgive yourself. Count yourself like a brand new baby again. You're starting out fresh again to please your God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, great. Praise God. Okay, everybody, I'm going to sign off for the night. And I'll just say to you right now, those that God is ministering to, just go back in your room, whether it's a bedroom or wherever it is, and just get alone with the Lord and just let him have you what he wants. And you do that, you're going to find a great big life change and all things are becoming new because God is doing many wonders. He's doing miraculous things today, folks. Healings, deliverance, provisions, changing lives around, attitude around. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You just enjoy it, okay? Okay, listen, I love y'all, and I just enjoyed myself here tonight. I've been blessed just being on this program tonight. So I want you to have a blessed week, and according to God's will, I'll be on next week. I'll bring another message to you from the Lord, okay? I love y'all, and I'd like to say good evening to every one of you now. Good night, everybody.